Live from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is the G.I. Jake Show, featuring Brett Hollander, Marcus Young, and your host, the unfiltered, unscripted, loose cannon of Knoxville sports radio, Jake Miller. The G.I. Jake Show starts now on Fan Run Radio.
And welcome in to the G.I. Jake Show right here on Fan Run Radio, live in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Jake Miller, Brett Hollander, intern Jack. Tennessee picks up the win last night, 6-3 against Queens, in which it was kind of a scare at first. We were down. I was not feeling good about that at all. Was not feeling good at all. And then finally, we started getting the bats going. And eventually, you pull out the win. Kirby Cannell struggled in his closing effort. Really struggled. And then, of course, we get the save. We win the game. But I don't want to be in a situation like that again. Because we had talked, and I told you all, about how confident I was in the fact that I felt like our guys could go out there and win these last eight games. Now they've won one of them. Now you got seven to go.
Yeah.
You don't need to be in the top of the ninth at home against a team like Queens, a team that was 12-36 going into last night's game. You don't need to be out there in the top of the ninth with two outs and three runners on with them having a chance to go up. You don't need to be doing that. You can't afford to be doing that. You're trying to secure a slot to host a super regional.
Mm-hmm.
You do not want that happening. Now, maybe I'm blowing midweek games out of proportion again. I probably am. That's what I do. I blow stuff out of proportion. But that's the second week in a row in which we have either lost or we've had a scare. I'm tired of it.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the important
thing. Phil's going to probably call in and say, fire Vitello.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, number one team in the country. Still going to find ways to fire your coach.
I mean, that's what we do here, man.
I mean,
that's what we do.
I mean, I got to imagine it's, like, tough. I mean, you were on the road in a tough series against Florida. And then you are back home and you just think everything's going to click. And it's hard to probably get up for those games when you see somebody's 12-30 and – You know, I mean, Vitello's probably hoping he doesn't have to go Kirby Cannell last night in the ninth inning. Like, you want to save his arm as much as possible for the Vandy series and the bigger series on the horizon because he's been your best bullpen arm, I mean, this season. So, I mean, you won the game. I mean, you obviously didn't play well, and those things happen. But, again, you won. You didn't lose like you did against Lipscomb. So, pitching was good overall. I mean, you only give up three runs. So,
and those were pretty early on.
Yeah. So. I mean, it was 3-2 going into the seventh.
Yeah.
You know, when we finally got Dryling hit the home run and things like that. So it did take us a while for the bats to even get going. And you had a pretty solid lineup in there. You know, you had your guys for the most part.
And then, of course, in NBA action last night, Boston handles business, winning by 25. They cover the spread. OKC absolutely dominating last night. A 22-point win against Dallas. Both of those teams take a 1-0 series lead as NBA playoff action continues on.
Yeah, those were kind of, I feel like expected a little bit. I mean, the other two teams coming off tough, long series against tough opponents, and those teams were rested, and you could tell there's a lot more energy. I mean, they're the home team, probably the better teams as well, you know, especially Celtics. I mean, they didn't skip a beat. I mean, they're just,
right.
They just got too many weapons. Tatum kind of struggled, but those other two guys, I mean, you got Brown and White.
He might be the most carried superstar in the league. Like, the team is just so good around him, and he doesn't really have to perform well to get a 25-point win in the playoffs. That's not going to be a series. They don't even have their starting center, and it wasn't close. So
yeah,
the Mavs should make it interesting, I think.
Yeah, they'll maybe bounce back. Yeah, Doncic, he's kind of really, I don't know if he's been hurt or he's just not himself. I mean, he had a good game six against the Clippers, but last night was just not a good night for him.
They've said he's had a knee thing, which you can tell, like, when you're watching, he just looks slow.
And he's slow anyway, but, yeah, like, okay. You know, I mean, but, yeah, they're not going to go far unless he's playing a lot better than he did last night. I mean, OKC's good. I mean, they're number one seed for a reason over there. I mean, Shea and Jalen Williams and Chet, I mean, they're tough, man. They're really tough.
Everyone discounted them because of how young they are, but
it's just basketball at the end of the day.
Right.
I mean, just a bigger stage.
Just a number.
Yep, exactly.
Just a number, Jake.
It is, and you know, the more people I talk to about the NBA right now, the more people don't want to talk about it, in a sense.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
They think that this is not the level of basketball that we should be seeing. They think it should be better.
Well, they should run out there and play. See how they do. What? Like Anthony Edwards, dude, you got to watch him play.
Did Austin Rivers really make the comment that you could take 30 players out of the NBA and put them in the NFL, but you can't take 30 players in the NFL and put them in the NBA?
I didn't hear that. But
I think I did see that quote. I think he said it on like a podcast or interview with somebody. I mean, that kind of makes sense, right?
That feels right.
Yeah.
I mean, when you take regular season NBA basketball into account, any one of us could go out there and just go down to jack up
the No.
I don't think.
I mean, they're talking about Zach Edey not making the league, and he's a two-time, like, best player in college basketball. Now, I know he's 7'4", but I'm just an example. Like, there's so many guys that just bust, like Anthony Bennett. Like, it's not easy to make it in the NBA, even in his number one draft pick.
Like, well, Anthony Bennett was just terrible.
He
wasn't
good but that's
at basketball.
Just an example. I'm terrible at basketball, but I'm not sitting here.
I'm not terrible at basketball.
Well, compared to those guys, you are.
No.
Yeah, Jake, stop.
Jake, stop.
No.
LeBron.
They wouldn't let you cross half court.
If LeBron went to tight end in the NFL, he'd cook.
Yeah.
He would cook.
Yeah.
But I don't think Micah Parsons is going out and going to the
NBA.
You've
seen him in the celeb games. I mean,
right.
They're struggling in those games. CJ Stroud and Micah.
Going up against Justin Bieber.
Struggling. Yeah. Kevin Hart crossing them up.
Didn't Kenny Smith get cooked by Justin Timberlake, though?
I don't know. Like, I mean, Bart, who was it? The Draymond and Kevin Hart did a three-point contest. It's just like. No, I agree with Austin Rivers, but
basketball is a lot more technical, I feel like. Like the dribbling and the rules of it, you have to like you just gotta know how to play. And football it's a lot more just athleticism, I feel like.
You gotta take a hit.
That's true.
You gotta take
NBA
a hit
guys do
too.
That.
These guys will flop out there in the league.
That's true.
The question of the day. Did Philip Fulmer sell our soul as an entire athletic department for that 1998 national championship?
And do you care that he did that?
I was going to say, yeah. Is
well,
it worth it?
It's been our only national title since I've been alive.
Okay, but the thing is, I've never got to fully experience one. Neither has Jack. I'm sure it was great. I'm sure it was fantastic for everybody that was living back then that could be cognizant of what was going on. Three-year-old Jake didn't know what was going on. You know what three-year-old Jake was probably thinking at that time?
I want to go left.
I'm hungry. That's probably
NASCAR. Yeah, that's true too. Hungry. That's a good one.
That's probably what was going on. Apparently, I was at a McDonald's for the 1998 game against Arkansas. My uncle had taken me to McDonald's for whatever reason, and I wanted chicken nuggets.
Probably because, I mean, probably left once they got the ball back with under 2 minutes left. They fumble.
But did he sell our soul for that one championship?
I don't know. I don't think so. Do you?
Yes.
Really?
Think about all of the athletic programs, whether it be baseball, basketball, or football.
Mm-hmm.
We've not been to number one a lot since in any of those.
Right.
Baseball, yeah. What happened? One of the best teams we've had past 5 years. What happened? They didn't even make it to Omaha.
See, but look at where we are now. Like,
yeah, we're in a much.
We went through it, and it was rough. But now we are thriving and balling in every single
sport. So you're
saying
in all of athletics, not just football.
Not just football. We got to experience number one for about 5 days in football.
Well, Pearl got us to number one, right?
And we got to experience it for about 48 hours, Brett.
Still, I mean, I don't know. We also were only good. Well, women's basketball, we were really good back then. Like, we were better than the football team.
That's when they were separate athletic departments.
Oh, okay.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Lady Vols had their deal. We had our deal.
That's crazy.
Say we were all part of the same. Well,
yeah, we're all University of Tennessee.
Right.
But, I mean, think about it. He sold our soul, and it looked like you were about to win another one in 1999. As a matter of fact, you'd been right up there with Virginia Tech and Florida State.
We had two losses that year, right?
Exactly. You only had one going into the Arkansas game, Brett, a game in which you were number three in the country, and you lose 28-24 on the road to an unranked Arkansas team coached by Houston Nutt.
They had payback on their mind, I guess.
I don't care.
I'm just kidding. That was bad. That was a bad loss.
2000, you started A.J. Suggs and only won by three against Southern Miss. 2001, you were on your way to the Rose Bowl. You were on your way, and then you fell apart in Atlanta. The next year, you go 8-5. You go 10-3, and then 10-3, and then you fire Randy Sanders because he was the scapegoat at the time because you went 5-6. You go 9-4, 10-2, institute the Clawfence. Dave Clawson, 5-7. He gets up there, starts crying. It's more like a funeral.
He was here for what, one season? Clawson?
Dave Clawson?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And then he ends up being a somewhat decent head coach.
Yeah, which is crazy. Yeah.
And then what happened after that, Brett?
We don't like to talk about it, Jake. We're in good times.
He sabotaged.
The sun is out.
He sabotaged.
You're wearing black today for a reason, I see.
Yes.
Gosh.
The sun's not going to be out much longer. It's going to rain. It's going to lightning.
You're raining on all our good stuff we got going right now, though.
We got good stuff going on right now, but I had a conversation.
Great stuff, actually.
I was having a conversation during the baseball game last night, and it really dawned on me. I'm like, Philip Fulmer's probably the reason whatever curse he put on this university. That is the curse.
Well, the curse is gone. We're starting to roll now.
We might be. The thing is, until we win something, the curse is still active.
Like win a national championship.
Yes.
Or win an SEC.
Yes.
That is so hard to do.
No, win a national championship and the curse is gone. I don't care if it's in basketball, baseball, or football. Win a championship, the curse is gone.
Well, we got to. We have. Yeah, tennis could win one. Golf. Yeah. Like we got like multiple chances in multiple sports. Surely one of these can pull one off.
The three major.
Okay, the three major. Oh. Yeah, we're a whole athletic department. You got to show some love to number one teams. It's not like we're scrubs out there on the tennis court and golf course. You love golf. You talk about it every single day.
I love golf.
You should love what UT Sports is doing.
I'm getting fitted for a set of clubs tomorrow.
Well, there you go. See?
Let me look at the camera really quick. If this is your first time tuning into the G.I. Jake Show, just know that I am a major conspiracy theorist. Matter of fact, I thought we were going to win it all in 2016.
What?
No.
I really did. Going into the season, I did. I was like, maybe this
season. Even with that dude as our coach?
Yes. I mean, think about this. I had this thing mapped out. It was the 18-year theory, right?
Oh, my God.
Peyton Manning played 18 seasons in the NFL, wore number 18, 18-18, mm-hmm. right? There was a lot. Actually, I bet I can pull up my old article that I wrote.
I mean,
in
it was a good year, so we'll take that. But winning it all, whew.
It was like everything. I don't know how I did it, but like made everything make sense to 18. It'd been 18 years.
There's no doubt that was one of the most disappointing seasons ever. I mean, with all the talent that was coming back from your 15 squad.
I mean, you ran off Preston Williams. You ran off Jalen Hurd.
Well, Jalen Hurd was kind of a. We didn't run him off, did he?
Yeah, we did. That's why he quit midseason.
We were honestly lucky to even be 9-4. That's the crazy
part. Talent alone got us 9-4.
Yeah.
It wasn't coaching. That was one of the most loaded rosters we've ever had here.
I mean, let's look at these two seasons when we return. Because what we're going to do is we're going to break down the 2015 and 2016 seasons, and then we're going to compare them to the past two seasons of Tennessee football. Because on one hand, we were really up for 1 year and then not so up for the second year. We were really high on these 2 years back in the 20-teens. Thought we had something going. But in actuality, we had talent and no coaching. Stay with us. The G.I. Jake Show marches on right here on Fan Run Radio. Here on the G.I. Jake Show, right here on Fan Run Radio. I'm not going to take this show into the gutter any more than what I already have today.
Good. Turned a corner in that 5-minute break.
I've turned a corner. Read an inspirational quote.
Oh, that a boy.
Get us back on track.
What did it say? Tell us.
I don't remember what
don't
it said.
Don't talk about Philip Fulmer.
No. But, of course, we talked yesterday about the top 25 that Joel Klatt put out. Now we've got a list of top SEC coaches as far as pay goes. And I want to see if you think these guys are overpaid or underpaid.
Okay.
Kirby Smart, $13 million.
I think that's well-deserved.
I think that's pretty well-deserved.
Yes.
You could probably throw a
I thought 10 years was a long time, but...
You could throw $20 million up in front of that, and I would probably...
How old is he anyway? I don't even know how old he is.
Kirby's not that old. I mean, he's Peyton's
age. Mid-40s?
Yeah.
He's Peyton's age, so I think right around it at least. So he'd be, what, around 40...
Five-ish?
48.
48? Oh, gosh.
I think.
That's not a big deal. I was just wondering, 10 years is a long time, but, I mean, he seems like he's still got a lot of energy, and he's got it rolling.
Yeah, I mean...
He's set.
Yeah, I was right on the money. He's 48.
Good job. Good call.
How about that? And Kalen DeBoer, $10.875 million at Alabama.
I think that's probably about right.
I think you're probably a little overpaid there.
Overpaid?
I think so.
Just because we haven't seen what he can do at Bama?
Yes.
Did he take a – is that a how much was he getting paid last year at Washington? Like, how much did they raise him?
I doubt it was that much.
You really think so?
He might not have even been making $5 million, dude.
Not even five?
He might not have been.
Gosh. Maybe not. I don't know. I guess it's good. I mean, he, except for the 1 year at Washington, but yeah. Well, so you think he's overpaid?
Yeah.
So what do you think? He's like a $9 million guy?
I would, if I'm Alabama, probably gave him 7.5.
Wow.
Maybe 8.
I mean, you're talking top 5 coach in America, though.
Is he?
Yeah, most lists.
Ship with Washington?
Yeah.
Got to give him something.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah. Go ahead. What's next?
Steve Sarkisian, 10.3.
Again, fair.
I think that's okay. It's not really what I would have paid him, but it's probably right around that ballpark of what they were probably looking at. And then you have Brian Kelly at LSU.
Yeah, that also makes sense.
9.5.
That still feels like a lot, though.
That feels like a lot for him. And, I mean, it ties into what we were talking about yesterday. It's like, what has he done?
Yeah.
Like, what has he done?
How much credit do you give to him for having a Heisman-winning QB? Do you give him that credit? Because he wasn't that player before. But
I don't know who you
– It's tough.
I don't know. That just seemed really, really bold. Really, really bold. And I am an idiot. I forgot about a guest we had.
Yeah, I meant to say something during the break, but she is on the phone.
That's what happens when you have two people with ADHD in one room with minds bouncing all over the place. Sammy, how you doing today?
I'm doing good. I will say I did call in a few minutes late. It's been a little hectic of a morning, so I'm sorry that I'm a few minutes late today. Throwing you off.
Hey, we understand completely. Sammy, yesterday we were talking about Joel Klatt's top 25 post-spring poll that he put out. When you look at this poll, and we'll read them off here in a minute, but number one, how do you feel about preseason polls, and then how do you feel about way too early preseason polls?
That's exactly how I feel, way too early. I mean, it's fun. I enjoy them because it gives you something to talk about, something to argue about with your family and friends and debate back and forth. So I think it's fun because you're looking forward to the season starting. You know, you're wanting something to get you through till season starts. So I think they're fun, but I don't put any weight on them. It's just fun to be able to have something to, you know, throw jabs and go back and forth with each other, you know.
Absolutely. And I don't know if you've seen this one yet, but we'll go down the list here. At number one, he had Ohio State, number two, Georgia, number three, Texas, number four, Oregon, number five, Ole Miss. Does anything stand out to you with that top five? And are there any in there that you would have been like, no, like they should not be there?
I mean, it is a little surprising. I mean, even the Ole Miss on there is that one got me a little bit. Maybe I need to take a better look at Ole Miss's roster and who they have coming back. That one got me a little bit. That's not who I would have in that number five spot, but interesting. That is a very interesting top five.
See, and we kind of had the discussion yesterday about Ole Miss, and it's like, well, yeah, they have talent, but they've also had talent in the past. And what has Lane Kiffin really done? Not just at Ole Miss, but his entire coaching career. Like, what has he actually done that has warranted this much hype? Because I feel like he's always had talent around him, and it's not like he's necessarily squandered it, but failed to live up to the expectations and failed to live up to the potential of said talent.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think it's, I don't know what it is about Ole Miss. It seems like it's just hard to actually get it done there, which is just wild because of the amount of money that they have. Sorry, I've been a little under the weather and I can feel the cough coming
on. Oh, so is everybody here.
But I just don't know. That's what also shocks me, is because Ole Miss, even though, yes, they did have a fantastic season a couple seasons ago, but I mean, that was the first 10-win season in how many years was it? I mean,
it's been a long time.
And so I don't know why it's so hard to win at Ole Miss, because you got the fun college town. You have the donors that are putting into the program. So I don't know why it's so hard to win there. And you're right. I do remember one of the highlights of my career was actually when I was working with SEC Nation, and seeing Lane Kiffin get left at the stadium in Arizona after the national championship. That was probably a highlight of my career whenever he was an analyst for Alabama, seeing him run through the hallways. No, I mean, he's had his ups, he's had his lows, but I mean, it's just tough. It's tough to it has proven to be tough to get it done at Ole Miss. So putting them at number five, I just, especially for an early preseason poll like that, I mean, that really is just to get people to talk.
And then the next 10 slots, 6 through 15, we have Utah at number 6, Alabama at number 7, Michigan at number 8, Penn State at number 9, Missouri at 10, Notre Dame 11, Florida State 12, Clemson 13, LSU 14, USC at 15. Now, the one thing that we highlighted more than anything in this was Missouri. Not so much because, you know, they're number 10 and they're Missouri, but you look at their schedule this year, they're probably going to finish in the top 10, and they may very well be a college football playoff team given the ease of their schedule this year. Now, granted, yeah, they got to play Texas. I think they have to play Oklahoma as well. But when you look at that schedule, you can very easily see a road to 11-1 for them.
Yeah, no, I'm trying to pull up Mizzou's schedule right now. Of course, we have some bad weather coming through, so of course internet doesn't want to work for me to be able to look at their schedule in full. I mean, with the shakeup of scheduling, it's going to be interesting to see how all SEC teams end up faring with the new scheduling. It's going to be weird how we don't play Florida every year, you know? And I mean, it's going to be very, very interesting to see how some of these teams end up at the end of the year, whenever you're not playing every team in the East, or the West isn't playing every team in the West. It's going to be very, very interesting. I finally got it to pull up. There we go. Finally. I got the first three games to pull up. We're really struggling over here today, you guys. Here we go. There it goes. Hopefully y'all don't have as bad of weather in Knoxville as what's coming through Nashville now.
Oh, I just got a notification from our good friend Mike Witcher, who does the weather for us here at the station now. And apparently lightning has been detected within 15 miles of the studio.
Yeah, no, it was pretty rough this morning. And I think we're about to have a second wind come through. It was very, very rough. There was hail this morning. There were some photos of some funnel clouds this morning, so don't think anything touched down, but it was pretty scary. But finally got it pulled up. So starting out with Murray State, then Buffalo, I mean, those, and both of those at home, I mean, easy wins. Then you got Boston College at home. Vandy. I mean, yeah, no, this is looking very favorable for them. I mean, you got that stretch of Auburn, Alabama, Oklahoma, then South Carolina, and then the rest of their SEC schedule. So, I mean, it gets a little bit tougher starting in mid-October for them. But, I mean, if you are going into that SEC slate going already 1, 2, 3, 4, maybe winning 5 of your 6 games, I don't know if you get the one at A&M. It's in College Station. So if you go 5-6 into – or 5-1 into that SEC slate, I mean, you got quite a bit of confidence still going into that SEC slate, even though it's not huge wins. Whenever you look at the teams, a win's still a win. So, I mean, that would be huge for Mizzou, a lot of momentum for them. So, I mean, I could see them faring pretty well with this schedule, and especially the games that – I mean, they have to go to Tuscaloosa, but you have Auburn at home, you have Oklahoma at home. Really just that – you got Arkansas at home. It's really just that Alabama game and the A&M game that I think could be the tough ones for them on their schedule.
And then, of course, looking at the last 10 spots, 16 through 25, you have Tennessee at number 16, Oklahoma at 17, Miami at 18, Oklahoma State at 19, Kansas State at 20, Arizona at 21, Nebraska at 22, Kansas at 23, Iowa at 24, and Texas A&M at 25. Now, this category, I want to highlight this one in particular because a couple of these teams on here, I just look at it and I'm like, you know, I've got to see something before I can get behind any of you all being in this echelon right here. I mean, even in the lower echelon of the top 25 that Joel put out. And those teams to me are Miami, Texas A&M, and Nebraska. And the reason I say that is just because there's not been much success from those programs, period, over the past few years. Texas A&M has had more talent than anybody. Now, granted, that's probably because Jimbo Fisher could possibly be the most overrated coach of all time. And you look at Miami and Mario Cristobal, and he's not really done any better, I would say, than what Manny Diaz did when he was running that program just a couple of years ago. And then Nebraska, I told Jack yesterday they were a museum program. It's like they've not done anything in such a long time. So when you look at those three, to me especially, it's just just weird seeing them up there because I don't feel like we've seen enough from them or had any success that warrants being number 25, number 22, or number 18 in any sort of poll period, whether it's a joke or not.
Right. No. I really think it is just to get people to talk.
Right.
And it's, like we said, very early predictions. And with a lot of these teams, like whenever you talk about Nebraska or even Tennessee at 16, I feel like that's, I mean, yes, you got some people coming back, but I feel like that's pretty high whenever you have some key positions that are going to be seeing new faces. So I think that that's honestly kind of high for Tennessee. I'm happy to see Tennessee that high, you know, but it's really what you're going based off of what you're projecting those players to be. You haven't seen any of it. So, I mean, I feel like with any of these 25 teams, it really is going to come down to, okay, well, how do they actually play together whenever there's another team lining up against them, not just what we've seen in spring ball and who they may think are the ones and the twos and the threes, you know? So much can change in between. Like, yes, you want to get your ones figured out during spring ball, but I remember when I was at UCF with Heupel, and it was in spring. That was the big, big topic. Was who's going to be QB1. And it was between Brandon Wimbush, Dylan Gabriel, and DJ Mack. And DJ Mack was who stepped in whenever Mackenzie Milton went down during the USF game. And so he kind of had the forerunner spot, but then you had Brandon Wimbush transferring from Notre Dame. You had the freshman QB that everyone was super hot about, and how he came from the same area as Mackenzie Milton, really, really like a baby KZ. And he was the one that set all the records back in Hawaii. And so you really had three that you had no idea which way it was going to go. Still didn't get it figured out at the end of spring ball. And I remember going to media days with Heupel in the summertime. I want to say that's like end of July that year for the American Athletic Conference. And still end of July, didn't have a QB figured out. I mean, so much can still happen and change. And while they have summer workouts, you never know what can happen. You know, you want everyone to stay healthy throughout the summer and be smart, but you never know what can happen. So it's all just predictions of what you thought you saw during spring ball. You never really know who's going to end up showing up on the field playing together game one.
And Sammy, just switching to baseball real quick, Tennessee, although won last night, had another struggle on a midweek game. I guess last week when we talked to you, we're coming off the loss to Lipscomb. And then last night you struggled with an even worse midweek team than even last week. Obviously, I kind of chalk it up to being a new number one after the weekend, you know, big rivalry win over the weekend. Maybe you're just not ready to go for whatever reason. But do you have any concerns with the last couple of midweek games? Obviously, we're coming to your neck of the woods this weekend for a big series against Vandy, who are struggling mightily right now. I mean, we've kind of owned over the last couple of seasons. So just your thoughts on last night's game, where Tennessee is in baseball, and then coming into Vandy this weekend.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think the big thing is you got through the midweek game with a W in that win-loss column. So I think that's the big thing to take away from the midweek game. And I was actually sitting in my living room with my family last night. My parents came over for a little bit, mm-hmm. and my dad had it pulled up on his phone because we couldn't get the game on the TV. And he was like, where is Queens even at? How is this what the score is right now? And so it is frustrating. It's frustrating to see games like that.
Right.
But at the end of the day, got it done, and it's a midweek game. You're so focused. It's like what we talked about last week. You're so focused on those SEC series on the weekend and trying to give your guys a rest so they can recoup and be ready to go for Friday. And so I'm excited to see how Tennessee plays against Vanderbilt. It's a great time to be playing against Vanderbilt. Like you said, they're in a slump right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's a great time to make a statement to little brother. I got to be careful because Vandy pays a lot of my bills. but they know where my alliances are. So I think it'll be a fun weekend and a good weekend for Tennessee to really put a stamp on an SEC team that has had a lot of success with their baseball program.
Hey, Sammy, I know last time we talked, I'm pretty sure you said you were going to game six for the Preds. We saw how that turned out. Just tell us about the game, what went down, and your outlook on the offseason now that they got bounced.
You know, nobody expected them to get to this point. I think that's the big takeaway. And while I was there at the game, it was heartbreaking, absolutely heartbreaking to lose that way. But that was really everyone around me. That was their takeaway as well. Everyone was like, hey, we're not going to be sad about this. We're not going to be down because you know what? Nobody thought that the Preds would get to that point. So the fact that they gave Nashville more games to watch and come to and enjoy, I think that's huge. And I think this program, I think the Preds, they're really headed in the right direction. I sat down with Sean Henry, the CEO, for an interview. It was a couple months ago. And just listening to him and the direction of going, bringing back Barry and the hire with the new head coach and just everything that he was doing from the top down, it just, you can tell the Preds are headed in the right direction. So I think that it's sad, but it's still, I think, a successful season for them.
Absolutely. Sammy, thank you so much for your time. Tell us where to find you on Twitter.
Of course, you guys. I keep it real easy. Sammy Kincaid, S-A-M-I-K-I-N-C-A-I-D.
All righty. Thank you so much, Sammy. We'll talk soon.
All right, sounds good. Bye.
That is Sammy Kincaid, the Fan Run OG, making her weekly appearance here on the G.I. Jake Show. Stay with us. Final segment, hour number one, coming up right here on Fan Run Radio. Back here on the G.I. Jake Show, final segment of hour number one. Guys, one of the things that we launched today here at Fan Run Radio, we launched some new merch. FanRunRadio.com/shop. Fan Run 4, the number 4. The Win is your discount code. Save 15% on any order. 15%. 15% on any order. FanRunRadio.com/shop. Head over there right now, Jack. I know you've got it pulled up over there. John and I, we've been working on some merch for about the past week and decided, you know what? This is probably what we need to put out. This stuff looks good. I like these logos. Jack, your initial thoughts.
Yeah, it all looks great. I love the horns down one, obviously. That's got a pop to it. But, yeah, it all looks fantastic.
Of course, we got the Fan Run script logo like we saw on the golf tees that we got, or the golf polos that we got, Brett.
Yeah, no, those were those are sweet. I love all of – we happened to wear ours on the same day that
I know,
one day.
Right?
And Tim, I think, had his on. So, yeah.
So what we've done is we made that logo wider. Be thrown on the front of a t-shirt. The Fan Run Star logo, that was another shirt that we had thrown out there as well during the event. Left chest logo shirts. You got the Drive, established 2010, for those of you who listen to the Drive, where I got my start here. And then we got a couple of hats that we've thrown up as well. I love a good hat, Brett. I love a good hat.
You do, yeah.
Love a good hat.
Yeah.
And then we also have
my, when they come from here.
And then my favorite, the Comfort Colors WKGN tank top. I'm a big tank top guy.
Tank top, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Got my
getting ready for summer with that.
Well, yeah, and the thing I love about these is, you know, it's a little bit wider, almost like a jersey.
Basketball jersey kind of thing.
Sort of, and, you know, not like a sleeveless shirt where the sleeves go all the way out to the shoulder, but it's a little bit wider than, you know, what we call the wife beater. That way you don't look like that guy at the gas station picking through trash.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Gosh.
Probably a bad analogy there. That's my favorite. Go to FanRunRadio.com/shop today. All right, as we continue on reading through these salaries, oh, man, I can't believe I forgot about our guest. That was awful. Tied for fifth,
She did good, though.
She's always
nice of her to call in and remind us.
She's also, like, probably one of my favorite guests.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
Big Crystals girl, Sammy Kincaid. Tied for fifth, you have three coaches.
Who is fourth? I think I was on the phone with Sammy.
Brian Kelly, 9.5.
9.5, okay.
Overpaid.
Yeah, I get. Yeah, so far you think everybody's overpaid except for Kirby. Is that my understanding?
I'd say Sarkisian's probably about right.
Okay.
Yeah, but
really, I'm kind of surprised you said that.
Yeah,
I feel like him and Brian Kelly, and Brian Kelly's had a little bit better resume than Sarkisian.
Sarkisian took over a dumpster fire, dude.
Yeah, but he also got fired for not good reasons, right? From USC.
But he bounced back.
He did.
He bounced back.
He almost got fired, though, didn't he? Wasn't Texas pretty unhappy with him at one point after one of the seasons, or am I wrong on that?
That would have been, what's his face? That idiot that was
there. Oh, the guy that we wanted here, right?
Tom
defensive,
Herman.
Tom Herman. I was thinking the guy before that.
The guy that
went to Louisville. What was his name?
Charlie Strong. Yeah,
yes.
He was their DC.
That's right, and just got bumped up.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So tied for fifth, you have Josh Heupel at $9 million, Elijah Drinkwitz at $9 million, Mark Stoops at $9 million. Mark Stoops overpaid.
Oh, yeah.
Very
absolutely.
Overpaid.
You were talking about DeBoer getting $7 million.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're talking about DeBoer, a guy who went to a national championship getting $7 million, then Stoops got to be $4 million. I mean, let's be honest. He hasn't done anything. He gets 10 wins because he plays a garbage schedule. They had a garbage schedule.
Yes, but they can never beat Tennessee.
Yes, and that's the best part. You can't beat your rival. You can't get $9 million. Or they think they're our rival.
Right.
It's like South Carolina.
Yeah. Even though South Carolina's been the more competitive, if you take those two teams into account, South Carolina's been the more competitive game that we've had consistently since they joined the conference in
1992. Well, and they just recently beat us.
Exactly.
I mean, when was the last time we lost to Kentucky? When JG threw the two picks?
Yep, that was it. The Pick 12.
Philip Fulmer was our athletic director then.
That's just part of the Fulmer effect.
That's part of the Fulmer effect. Drinkwitz, $9 million overpaid.
Gosh, over, I think.
I mean, at this point.
Now, if he continues on the trajectory he's got going right now, I mean, coming off, what, 10 wins last year?
Could you classify him and Heupel in the same category?
That's true. I mean, I still wonder if Heupel's, do we think Heupel's overpaid? I mean, no. I mean, we love the guy. Don't get me wrong. But has in his time here.
I think it's more.
But if you want to keep these guys, like if you want to keep your head coach, you think you have a good one and a guy that's going to, you know, potentially lead you to big and great things, then you got to pay. Like,
it's true.
People come in and steal him. Like, we were worried, like, you know, A&M was starting to get farther and farther down their list. Like, how soon do they start talking to Heupel?
Right.
You know, things like that. So, well, like, Stoops was getting talked to by A&M, supposedly. He was on his way.
Oh, yeah, she honored that one.
Yeah, they did the right thing.
Well, something else to take into account is, you know, some of the reason, or part of the reason why some of these salaries might be high is to offset some of the cost of living cost.
Mm-hmm.
Not for them to go to the grocery store or anything, but the fact, you know, there are these things called taxes.
Mm-hmm.
And Josh Heupel in Tennessee, for what he makes, he's probably only taking home about 60%.
I guess that's true. Yeah.
He's probably taking home.
Yeah, we only see $9 million. You're like, oh, that's outrageous.
Well, I don't know. With agent fees, he might only be taking home about 55% of that.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's something you just got to deal with in this profession.
So, right now, we really only think a couple guys are on their number or reserving, right? Everybody else we think is overpaid at this point.
Just about. Lane Kiffin, Ole Miss, 8.885.
Just a weird number, but I mean, I don't know. I guess that's right.
They paid for
him. I mean, he's still getting more than Stoops, or getting less than Stoops. That's just what I'm going to keep coming back to.
I think he's generating more buzz around that program now.
He's got a top five team potentially this coming season. I mean, Kentucky's not even ranked.
So, I mean, you could probably justify that.
Yeah.
Billy Napier, $7.5 million.
Ooh, man, he's stealing money.
I mean, he literally went down to Gainesville, Florida, and said, "You're going to pay me this." Took a bite of a bologna biscuit and said, "I don't want bologna anymore. I want ham."
Gosh, I wonder what his buyout is.
I don't know.
Because it might happen.
Jack, look up Billy Napier's buyout. Let's see how much they're going to have to pay him after we absolutely shellack them.
Is that the date you give it?
I think
October. What's that, like 7 games in?
We play them October 12th. October 13th, he won't have a job.
Okay. We're going
to a buyout close to $32 million.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
Is this his last year under his current deal? I don't even know.
No.
No, he's 2 years into a 7-year deal.
Golly.
Why would they give him a 7-year deal?
I don't know.
They must have believed.
The market, man. They believed in some built Billy.
Dude, they literally hired their Derek Dooley. They hired a guy from a Group of Five school out of Louisiana, and now they're overpaying him, and now they're stuck. We thought Derek Dooley's $5 million buyout was bad in 2012.
No buyout looks bad after what A&M did, though.
No.
I mean, that's...
A&M made the worst decision of an athletic department.
What was his, like 85 or something like that? 75?
Yes. He makes $28,000 a day to wake up and get a cup of coffee.
That's amazing. Who's next?
Brent Venables, $7.25 million.
That's probably about right.
I'm thinking that's good value.
He should be in about 6 to 6.5 category.
Mm-hmm.
So they're probably trying to make up for state.
And you
got
to think these guys get incentives. Like Heupel got incentives for being like number one or whatever he did, or
right.
Bowl games, things like that.
I don't know. Go through these last ones when we come back from the top of the hour break. But when I tell you some of the salaries on this other one, there might be one here you can say is underpaid.
And the last, like, what, we got 5 names left?
Six.
6 names left?
We got 6 left. I think one of them is drastically, I wouldn't say drastically underpaid, but probably underpaid given what he has done and what he could do.
Trying to think who's left in the conference you haven't mentioned.
Now when I tell you who it is, you're going to be.
Going to agree?
You're going to agree that he's probably underpaid.
Oh, I can't think of
you too, Jack.
I might.
You're old enough
to
remember who this guy is.
I might know who you're talking about.
You know who this is. You know who this is. And then you got a guy that's just like, okay, well, you don't even deserve that. You're so bad that you don't even deserve that. That's how it's going to be. Stay with us. Hour number 1 of the books. Hour number 2 of the G.I. Jake Show coming up right here on Fan Run Radio.